All right, as everybody knows, the Gold Cup has been powering on as we welcome you back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. 512 call now. They're bilingual. John and his firm, the best in personal injury attorneys. You get in a car accident, boat, motorcycle, you need the Daspit Law Firm. You need the best. DaspitLaw.com, 512 call now, and they are bilingual. As we've seen in Houston, Gold Cup excitement in our city has been off the charts, the only city to host two venues during this, both Shell Energy Stadium and, of course, Mexico coming in playing at Energy Stadium. Full house with El Salvador fans, full house with Guatemala fans. But last night, the defending champions eliminated the United States men's national team to Panama. And, of course, Panama hits the game-winning penalty at Alberto Carrasquilla. We know him here in Houston as Coco, who plays for the Houston Dynamo, hitting the decisive penalty kick and has had an all-around exceptional tournament. We bring in Brian Sciarretta from American Soccer now to take the perspective. Let's start with the United States men's national team on this one, Brian. I mean, this was a fairly even game here. This is one that could have went either way, which you might have thought in a semifinal.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think with the U.S. team, they had five starters who went at least 110, five out of the 10 field players went at least 110 minutes 3 days earlier. You know, no excuses. I mean, sometimes that's what international soccer throws at you. But, you know, I thought the U.S. had to be more clinical with their finishing as a result. Like, if they went to, even if they were to prevail in the shootout, going to play Mexico in a final after two 120 minute games within a couple days of each other would have just been a really impossible task. I thought, you know, when Cade Cowell hit the post in the first minute, you know, and Ferreira hit a shot wide in the second half, and Vasquez also skied a shot in the second half, those were their chances. They had to bury one of those really good chances, and they didn't. And then they allowed Panama to hang on. Panama's on the upswing, no doubt about it, with Coach Thomas Christensen. He's a very good coach. They're looking very, very good heading into, you know, CONCACAF World Cup qualifying without the U.S., Mexico, or Canada. You know, I like where they're sitting, and hats off to them. They're clearly on the upswing. But, yeah, I thought the U.S., they had their chances to get it done. They didn't. It was a disjointed tournament for them, but a lot of these guys hadn't played together. So that was kind of be expected. And, you know, some of these players will fade from the national team program. Some of them will be back soon in the fall. Some of them might be put on the back burner for a while, and others will shift them to the U.S. Olympic team very soon. So, you know, it was a worthwhile tournament to get that many players this kind of experience so they're not disjointed again in the future.
So those players that are going to come back, who would they be in your mind after this tournament?
I think James Sands is looking like a good bet to get looks as a defensive midfielder behind Tyler Adams, who's injured a little too often. I think, you know, it could set up a competition with him and Cardozo. I think Brandon Vasquez, though he didn't get on the ball enough last night and he skied that good opportunity, I still think, you know, he's going to be in the mix for a deeper forward option, although that becomes more competitive with Forlorn Balogun joining the mix. And I think also perhaps DeJuan Jones, is considered as a backup left back to Anthony Robinson. Those are just a few that I think, caught my eye. And of course, Aiden Morris, who I wanted to see more of. He left the team for personal reasons. It could be a club move. We'll see what happens with that. But, I wanted to see more of him. But I think he's one of the guys that's going to shift to the Olympic team. But he could be an option down the road.
Yeah, just want to take you back to Panama. As much as Christensen's getting a lot of the publicity for what Panama is doing in this current version of the world of the Gold Cup, you have to go back to a name, Julio Deli Valdez, and this is for my listeners as well, who helped kind of resurge and boost the Panamanian program. And this is going back a lot of years when he was involved with not only player development, but coaching the full national team. And he was an ex-player as well. Okay, so back to the U.S. Yeah, first minute Cowell hits the post, 52nd. That was Cowell setting up Vasquez on that volley. If you're the United States, and I'm seeing everybody conditioning this now, well, you know, it's a tournament that you don't get anything out of. That is just something I just totally detest when people say that.
No.
Because there's all kinds of experience gained for coaching staffs and players alike. I get so tired of hearing that, Brian.
Well, let me tell you this. Like, to predict what a U.S. World Cup roster in 2026 is going to look like is a fool's errand, right? You know, sure, you know, Pulisic and Weah and McKennie and Adams, but you don't know if any of them are going to be healthy, and you don't know who their backups are going to be. Like, it's going to be a 26-player roster, and you might know 13, 14 players that you can say these guys are locks, and even then some of them aren't in the best of club situations now, and we have to see how that's going to happen. Part of the reason why I think what the U.S. team has to do is they have to get backup options. They have to be able to test people and be able to rotate squads at a World Cup so that not everyone's as gassed going into the potential knockout rounds. And then you could always get a suspension too. You know, for the U.S. team to use for this tournament, what was important was so that they're not disjointed again in the future, and to get these players real experience. There was a time, I mean, I think you remember, I think it was 2020 when the U.S. played Canada in the Nations League away in Toronto, and they looked terrible. I want to talk about disjointed. It was one of the worst efforts for the U.S. team, but those are, you know, those kind of losses are what makes you better. You have to take your lumps along the way. So I think they looked at some important players, and players who could be in the mix. It's only one player pool. I don't consider the A team, B team. And this is a way that, you know, it puts them on a path where that now they can potentially be more in sync with everything in the future. And then, like I said, you have the Olympic team as well. That's, you know, and there's 5-6 of these players I think are going to be on that team in Paris next year.
Yeah, I mean, look, it is one player pool, but there is a pecking order, and there is a pecking order that changes as it goes along. And this was an opportunity for a lot of the younger players to maybe carve some things out as far as their careers are in the future. And I think you mentioned on a prior show, Brian, and we're talking to Brian Charette of American Soccer Now, that, you know, yeah, I mean, we know the incumbents, and a lot of the incumbents, the McKennies, the Adamses, the Pulisics, these names, I mean, we get those, but, you know, there is a roster that is constantly in flux, has to be rounded out, is giving people opportunity. So this, again, as a Gold Cup, yeah, it's disappointing the U.S. isn't in the final. Doesn't mean something wasn't gained from it, obviously.
Of course, that's said it best. I mean, like I said, if you just think, oh, we know who's going to be there in 2026, there's no point to look at other players. I think that's kind of crazy talk. You know, it's there could be a time when you look back at things and you say, like, okay, it was good that this tournament happened, and it kind of laid a good groundwork. So again, some of these players are going to be right back with the team in the fall, and some will be in the mix down the road. But it sets up the future better. What would have been better? I mean, it was a great opportunity to do this. Not everyone gets a chance to really give this many players experience, and it just makes the overall player pool better.
All right. So speaking of the player pool, there's players that are trying to get to Europe that may not be able to get there as quick as they want. I think one would be Brandon Vasquez, right? I mean, FC Cincinnati's having a stellar season. They're not going to want to lose him. What are the chances of him moving before the end of the season in this window? It doesn't look good to me. But, you know, when you take that from the player perspective of wanting to get to Europe because you believe your chances being in the shop window in Europe might enhance you getting onto the national team. You know, take us into that a little bit and kind of the yin and yang of that for a guy like Brandon Vasquez.
Yeah, look, I think getting to Europe is big when you get into those big five leagues. You know, when you, just getting to, you know, mid-table leagues, you know, middle leagues below, outside of the top five or six leagues, you know, it I don't think it really does. You have to then excel like you would excel in MLS, or it just getting there is not going to, you know, I don't really think it's a huge step up at that point, or if it's step up at all. Just, I mean, Europe's a big place. You know, you see guys like Reggie Cannon and Sam Vines just kind of go over there and drift about. and lose their spots. But I think with Brandon, the interest though is in the Bundesliga, so that's obviously huge. I mean, with Cincinnati, they sold Brenner already, so losing another attacking a talent before this, in the middle of a supporters shield campaign where they're likely going to get it, you cough up your two best attackers, I think is going to send a bad message to your fans that you're not in it to win it. With Brandon, I think moving before the end of the year is tough. I would not be surprised, however, if they do one of those things that we've seen where he's sold and he's loaned back through the end of the year. We've seen that with like Georgi Mihailovic last year and others who have, been sold and then they're on loan. I mean, Matt Turner was on loan from Arsenal to back to New England immediately after that deal took place. I wouldn't discount that here with Brandon.
Talking to Brian Chiaretta, American Soccer Now. How about Gianluca Busio? He was around the ball a lot. He was kind of the U.S.'s, if we make a comparison here to Panama, he was kind of the U.S.'s Coco Carrasquilla. How about a thought on his tournament? Because he certainly was involved. It certainly was a very good effort, and he certainly was around the ball.
Yeah, I think, he's a guy who, again, a move to Europe didn't really exactly boost his chances with the national team because, A, he went over there, looked okay in Serie A, then the team got relegated and he lost his spot in Serie B. And so it didn't really pay off for him. But, he's still around and he's still doing his thing. He still has some interesting things that he could provide. He's good on the ball. He can pass all right. But it's always been about defense and winning duels and doing the nitty gritty things that, like, for example, a guy like Tyler Adams does, or Unas Musa does, or Weston McKennie does. Like, it's not just what they do with the ball, it's what they do without the ball. And when the other team is in possession, how do they get the ball back? And then how do they lead a quick transition? Those are always things with Gianluca that are questionable. I think you still need to see more at the club level. I don't know if he's going to return to Venezia or not. That could be an interesting situation. But in terms of the national team, he's also one of the ones that's Olympic eligible, and I think could really benefit a lot from that tournament. And I think you can probably see his focus go there. And then eventually, if he does well with the 23s, then shift towards the national team. But that's going to be a good U23 team. It's going to put a lot of guys in that mix for the U.S. full national team. So he'll have to stand out there to kind of get more looks down the road.
It puts him in the shop window internationally as well. We're talking to Brian Chiaretta of American Soccer Now as he joins us. How about Tyler Adams? Any update on his injury and progress with that? I haven't heard much about him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't hear anything about him training right now. And, there's some fans out there saying that, oh, he's going to return to Leeds. I still find that hard to believe that he's going to go down to the championship. Because I think it wasn't the best season for him at Leeds, but the team really struggled worse when he went down with an injury in March. There hasn't been any concrete updates. I'm hoping to hear something this week or next week from the club, about where he is and his ability. And then it's the injury, and then it's also a potential transfer too, because he's one of their most viable assets to sell if Leeds needs money.
Last one before I let you go, Brendan Aaronson to Union Berlin in the Bundesliga. What do you think about that?
I think it's great. I mean, I think he's a guy who's going to shift from the Premier League to the Bundesliga, which is a step down in physicality, which I think could benefit him. But he's also now going to get he has Champions League experience from Salzburg, but now he's going to get to return to the Champions League as perhaps a wiser player from the time in the Premier League. Yeah, it's going to tell us a lot about Brendan Aaronson, this move, because this is in a wheelhouse when he can succeed. And it's downshifting a little bit too, where you don't want to see him struggle as much as he did in the Premier League. You want to see him succeed like he did. And I think he can. So, but he's also a guy who really needs that pressing kind of a role and quick transition and hustle. And, I think he's going to fit into Union Berlin because they do play a style that's more similar to what he had in Salzburg and Philadelphia than Leeds.
And you always wonder just how the culture and the differing playing style and structure of a league like Germany might affect his development as a player as well. He's Brian Chiaretta, American Soccer Now. Get his writings. He's on top of it. Brian, as always, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thank you very much, Glenn. I appreciate it.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.